Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
All right, we're coming to you from the Quicken Loan Studios on CBS Sports Radio. I'm Pharrell with Carver High Mafia. National mortgage lender Quicken Loans apply. Simply understand fully. Mortgage confidently. How unreal is this? Vegas playing for a title in year one. Hockey finals, hoop conference finals. Pharrell on thebench.com hitting huge snags left and right, including the Cavs tonight and a bunch of baseball winners, boxing, MMA, soccer this summer from Russia with love. Pharrell on thebench.com. Sign up today. CBS Sports Radio's toll free 855-212-4227 line is brought to you by Geico. Great news. There's a quick way you can save money. Switch to Geico. Go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes, you can save 15% or more on car insurance. Billy in Boston on the Hub. You're on CBS Sports Radio.
Yo, Pharrell, I need like a vodka or some other stuff because I don't feel good right now. I just watched the Celtics game.
I believe it, but I thought everything was in the bag. I mean, you guys had it all in the bag, didn't you?
No, that's what they said. I didn't believe it. I was skeptical. I mean, come on. Like, double-digit losses, too. We can't win on the road. And you know that guy named 20 with the number 23 on his back, that's not Michael Jordan, is going to come to Boston. He's gonna slap us in the face. It doesn't matter because we're playing for who gets swept by the Warriors, and I'd rather have a higher pick anyway, but I'm still depressed.
Yeah, I don't think either one of them will beat Golden State or Houston, for that matter. And I think Golden State will beat Houston. And I also think,
I think James Harden is the poorest defensive all-star I've ever seen in my life.
I mean, the bottom line is we haven't seen the whole story yet in that series. We still have to see, what happens. Game four is going to be huge tomorrow night. And then we'll see what, if Golden State wins like they always do on their home floor, if they even it up just like Cleveland did, then we both have, three-game series. And I think that Houston believes that because they're at home in games 5 and 7 that they'll win the series. And I don't really have a problem with that type of thinking. They have to go out and do it. And I think Boston has the same situation, except, what I heard on this show every night for the last few months was this, is every time Boston wins a game in hockey or basketball, people come on this show afterwards, the game, and they tell me how the series is over and that the Bruins and Celtics are going to win in 5 or 6 or whatever it is. They never, ever, I never hear, which I'm cool with, you guys are never losing anything. And then all of a sudden you do lose, and then you don't want to talk about it. Nobody, it's like the Bruins were going to win the Stanley Cup, and they didn't. And then nobody, once they lost, it was over. Then they moved their efforts to the Celtics to bring them their happiness. And then they told me after 2 wins in Boston that that series was over, and they were going to the finals. And now that they got their asses handed to them twice in Cleveland, thank God at least you called them and admitted that you need a vodka. Which is interesting because, nobody else is talking about how just like a few days ago you had them bent over, right? It was done. Done deal. Carver High, you can't deny that that's what I heard. All I heard was it was over. They got it in the bag.
I'd say that was the sentiment from 75 to 80%.
And what did I say on the show? I kept saying, I'm not even trying to be right. I kept saying, can we play the 2 games in Cleveland for Christ's sakes? Would that be all right?
Yeah, and I was told today before the game even tipped off, by some tweets and even around these hallways that the referees would make sure that Cleveland won tonight.
So the games were fixed.
Well, that's what one gentleman from Boston tweeted me that this morning. He gave me the, I forget, is it Scott Foster who ref the game tonight, I believe?
I don't know. So it was all planned out from the start.
That was a done deal with the refs tonight.
Please.
Except the guy that was battling foul trouble the most tonight was Kevin Love.
Yeah, I don't, like, here's what I saw. I looked up all night long, and what I saw was the Cavaliers winning. That's what I saw. They were always winning. If you look at it, am I wrong? Did they not like outscore them literally in every single quarter in Cleveland? Right? I mean, isn't that what happened? They led from start to finish in the game three. This game, they did not do that because at one point I know they were down like 6-4 or something like that. Oh, so they were outscored in both quarters in the end of this game? So Boston caught up. 111-102 was the final. I guess they didn't do a good enough job. So I guess they can hang their hat on that. They outscored the Cavaliers 23-21 in the third tonight and 26-22 in the fourth, so they're making headway. They actually outscored them in the second, too, 35-34. So the Celtics are actually kicking the Cavs' ass, except they were down 34-18 after one, and that was the grave they dug, right? Ed in Las Vegas. Ed.
Yeah, Pharrell.
What's up, man?
You got to give me some therapy here, bro.
All right.
Because, I mean, I am a huge sports fan, hockey, baseball, football.
Right.
But for whatever reason, I cannot do basketball. I think it sucks. I mean, I always follow who's going into the playoffs and who's winning the series, and it's like it sucks, man. Like from the beginning of the season, you can predict who is gonna be in the finals. It's like, come on, man.
Today, yeah. So this is just taking too long. So I think what he basically at the end of the day, he told me that the league stinks, right? The games stink and the league stinks, and he hates it. There you go. Congratulations, Mike in Indiana.
Hey, Pharrell, how's it going, man?
Hey, Mike.
Hey, good to be back on again. Hey, you're right, man. I tell you, I called in the other night and touched base with you guys. And, you know, Cleveland, man, I knew they weren't done. I still think Boston has a good shot to win the series. But Cleveland going back home, man, you know, all the people calling in saying it was done, what were they thinking, man? You know, they still got the X factor, right? They still got the X factor, and he's gonna have tremendous games. He's gonna carry the team pretty far on his back. I obviously think the East champions definitely play it for second place. I mean, it's gonna be the West again this year. In the end, who's gonna be Golden State four times in a seven game series with Kevin Durant now? Well, it hasn't happened yet, and I don't believe it happened again this year. But it's gonna be interesting. I tell you what, man, if Boston loses the next game, I think they're done. That's for sure. But if they win it, it's gonna be an interesting series, man.
Yeah, I won't be surprised at all if they win it. If they win game five, I have no reservations about Boston going home and playing well at the Garden. They play great there. Those two games they played them there, they kicked their ass. So I think that it's very possible that they could win game five. And I think they could, you know, they can win the series. I still think Boston can win the series. I think that, you know, obviously Cleveland has to win a game there. That's just all there is to it. And so is it going to be five or seven? Which one are they going to win? And obviously, you know, you talk about calls and things of this nature that happen for the home teams with some, you know, homerized milk toast calls. You get that when you play at home. You get those calls. And the problem is getting those calls late in the game, in the, you know, 5 minutes left in the fourth of game seven. That can be a real problem when you're giving the home team all those trips to the line in the last 5 minutes of a game. So that's to be reckoned with yet still, that they're going to play three more. I think they're playing three more. I don't think Cleveland's losing in Cleveland. They're 7-1 there in the playoffs. And I thought they did the same thing to Boston that Boston did to them in Boston. And so this is a back-and-forth thing. And I think that Cleveland has to win a game in Boston. That's what it boils down to. And I don't think Boston's winning a game in Cleveland. So it's got to be LeBron James, and he's got to pull off a miracle in Boston, and that's all there is to it. And it did not look like in any capacity that he could achieve that. In game two, he had a great game, right? He had the big triple-double, whatever, and they still lost. They still got spanked, right? So, and he looked great tonight. I thought games, you know, all the games, two, three, and four, he played really well, and tonight he had a huge night. But the second game, he had a triple-double, and they lost, right? So look what it takes for him to win a game in Boston. It's like this overwhelming task, this mountain he's got to climb. So it really does boil down to him, if you ask me. Everybody keeps talking about, I understand that he's got to get these other guys involved, which he did that in Cleveland. But let's just remember, in Boston, those the rest of them, the rest of the team, besides LeBron James, they were terrible. In Boston, those the rest of the team was terrible. LeBron wasn't. They were. So I have a problem believing that the rest of them can do anything in Boston in game five or seven. I think the rest of them played like a bunch of hacks on the road in this series. And in Indiana, too. The only time they looked good in the playoffs so far, to me, at all, was against Toronto, right? Because they're the proverbial spring flop every year. And you know it. So here they are playing, I think, you know, fair to Midland in this series. And I expected them to win both games in Cleveland, and I bet on them to win both games in Cleveland, and I hit both of those bets. So they have to – it's got to be him, because I'm going to tell you right now, the rest of those hacks can't do it. They just can't do it. He's got to get his rocks off, and he's got to have at least 45 points for them to win that game. And, you know, another triple-double. And he's got to get at least one more clown to chip in. Whether it's Korver or Love, someone's got to put up a big game, like 20-plus. Because the rest of them didn't do jack in Boston, and it made them look really beatable. Cleveland looked real beatable on the road. They just don't look good at all on the road. Remember that on Wednesday night, that they're playing back in a place they played just terrible basketball. I thought they played just horrifically in Boston those first two games. I mean, the second game they played a little better, but they still got their ass banged, so whatever. They got to win one of those games, so it's got to be him. I don't even think anyone else is capable of doing it. He's got to be Superman again, and that's just all there is to it if they want to win it. And I think, you know, one of the side distractions they constantly are talking about with this guy is they're, instead of just letting him play ball and, like, worry about the game, they always make it about the game. And where's he going in the offseason? They never just let him play ball. It's always got to be about what's happening in the offseason. Is he going to Philly? Is he going to L.A.? Is he leaving Cleveland? It's never just let him play and see if he can win the game in the series. It's never just easy enough to just play the game. You don't see him doing this with Al Horford, do you? Or anyone else? Do you ever see him, like, spending the whole day talking about where's the guy going to play next year in the middle of a conference finals battle? So they give LeBron the heaping pressure of all this other side garbage and malarkey, all this nonsense about where's he going next year. Who cares about next year right now when you're playing in a series that's tied 2-2?
You're listening to Pharrell on the Bench.
All right, so Adam's in Toronto. You're on CBS Sports Radio.
Yeah, hi. So two things. Brad Stevens, meet Dwayne Casey. Dwayne Casey is this partner. Interesting. He's getting LeBron tonight, which is – but one of the things that I find interesting is this argument about hockey versus basketball. I live in the city that thinks hockey is the greatest thing and basketball sort of on the side.
Right.
And I'm the other way around. Strangely enough, I may be the only white guy in Toronto.
I'm having a hard time hearing you.
Hang on. Is that better?
Yes.
Yes, okay. So I was going to say, I may be the only person in Toronto who thinks this way. Because to me, hockey is a one-position sport, and nothing proves it more than the Vegas win. Your goaltender is good, you win. Your goaltender is bad, you lose. Everything else doesn't matter in the sport. And at least with basketball, except for the refereeing, which seems to have a much bigger effect in basketball than any other sport. In fact, one of the interesting things no one pointed out was in the very first game that the Raptors played against Cleveland,
right,
it was whether Jacob Poeltl was going to get called on a lot of fouls. If he gets called, the Raptors lose. He got called, they lose.
Wait, who got called for a bunch of fouls?
Jacob Poeltl. He's the guy who replaces Valanciunas.
Oh, the kid Poeltl out of Utah or whatever, right? Isn't that where he played? Yeah, I don't – listen, let's go back to what you were saying. First of all, he doesn't matter. Second of all, the thing you said about hockey, that only the goaltender matters, couldn't be further from the truth. Now, I will agree with you that having a great goaltender is a very important part of winning in hockey and in the Stanley Cup playoffs. There is no denying you have to have a great goalie to win the Stanley Cup. I believe that. But there's no way I believe that it's the only player on the ice that matters is the goalie. That is just not accurate, Carver Hyde. There are too many things that go into it, including your top two lines, your top two defensive pairings, your last change, your hits, your penalties, your power play, your PK. All of those things matter. Your turnovers, your face-offs, won and lost. All of those things matter in winning a hockey game, not just if the goalie makes a few saves, honestly.
Look, a outstanding goalie can definitely carry you and steal you wins in the Stanley Cup playoffs, but that alone cannot win you the Stanley Cup. You need him to do those things to get you there, because there's going to be nights where, I mean, like Braden Holtby was awesome tonight for the Caps. You need nights like this.
You look, still got to score goals.
You still got to put the puck in the net. You still got to shut the other team down defensively. You know, but you need a goalie can get hot and carry you for a while, but they can't carry you. You know, they're not going to win all 16 games for you. You need some other ways to do it as well.
The moral of the story was, though.
But how about the one more thing with him? The Brad Stevens meet Dwayne Casey. He's already won two games against LeBron in this series.
Yeah, that's
Dwayne Casey win this year.
That's also a done deal argument.
Zero?
That's done deal. He said that, you know, what he's trying to express
he's getting LeBron.
Right. He's getting LeBron, except that he beat him twice. You're right. So that's the end of it. And Dwayne Casey's, let's face facts, 0 for 5 in the playoffs, like 5 series, 5 years in a row. It's just a disaster. So that's all there is to it. And twice swept by the Cavs, even in the last 2 years, swept both times. It's embarrassing. Don't even talk to me about that ridiculously hacked basketball team you have up there that never wins anything. Stop. You know what you should do? Break it up like a bad relationship in high school. Break it off. Break it off. Get new players. The ones you got aren't winning. You win all these games that don't matter. And then when it matters, you can't hit the side of the barn. Do people actually try to hit the side of the barn in any capacity ever? Or should I have used the can't hit the ocean from the beach line?
Either works.
All right. Willie is in California.
Yeah, I don't get why you guys are so hot on Brad Stevens. You give him total credit when he wins.
Yeah, I don't. I'm not hot on. I'm not hot on Brad Stevens. Don't put words in my mouth. I don't. I'm not a Celtics fan, and I'm not a Brad Stevens champion of any stretch of the imagination. I think he does a really good job with the team that he has. And he gets way too much exposure. I would agree with you that he's talked about like he's Jesus, he hasn't won anything in the NBA yet. Nothing.
He's Judas. He's not Jesus.
Okay, thanks, Mr. Bible reference. Is this guy really calling me up to shred Brad Stevens and give me Bible references? Go to church, bro. Go repent your sins. Don't waste your time with me. Greg in Boston.
Hey, bro.
Hey.
Really?
I didn't hear you say it again.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, my truck is picking up the Blues Jays right now.
That's all right.
Yeah, thanks for having me on your show.
Yeah, man.
Great show. Really appreciate you having me.
Sure.
Last guy on Brad. He doesn't want all the praise.
Yeah, listen.
The players to have that.
I don't dispute that the guy is a good coach. I won't argue that with anyone. There's no denying the guy has done a hell of a job in Boston. But let's just calm down a little bit. You know, none of the banners up in the rafters at the Garden have anything to do with him yet. So until he wins one, I don't want to hear it. Seriously, like in Boston, let me explain real quickly. You can talk all you want about how great he is. In Boston, all they care about are banners and championships. They don't, like, are you kidding me? Can you imagine trying to tell this story, like Red Auerbach or any of the other guys that have won all those championships, about some guy that hasn't won one yet, that they keep talking about this guy like he's better than all of them? They talk about Brad Stevens like he's the greatest coach that ever lived. All I ever hear about, he's just a genius. He's a savant. He's just, I'm like, shut up. Just stop. Oh, he handles the huddle so well on the road. Are you kidding me? I want to take a bottle and smash it over your face. Shut up. Just stop. I could do the same thing in a huddle. We're down 20. We're going to get our ass beat again tonight. You Fems didn't show up to play. I'll sit your ass. Oh, they always show him with this mic'd up BS, like Brad Stevens is some kind of genius. Oh, Jesus, please spare me. Win a championship up there. Stop. You know what they do up there? You keep thinking that you got all these championships lined up this year, next year, the year after, the year after. Every Pharrellin game you're going to win. Sick of hearing it. Brad Stevens. I'm going to puke. Let's do the update with another Boston fan. Are you another one that thinks he's better than Red Auerbach?
No, of course not. He's got his work cut out for him now in game five. Jesus, we'll see what he comes up with.
I can't even listen to it anymore. Brad Stevens. Holy mother.
I believe that Darwin was in the camp of he did not like the official before the game even started. He had a problem with the crew.
So you thought
Scott Foster, of course.
The whole game was fixed.
No, I thought there were some bad calls.
But I did hear you in here tonight talking about the refs.
Well, yeah, the free throws end up even, but at key points of the game, you always know Scott Foster in those situations, it's going to go with the side of the team that's down in the series. Foster's now 5-0 in the postseason officiating games when the team is behind in the series. 5-0 this postseason. Sixers game four, Jazz in the Western Conference, 5-0. That's what he is.
So if he,
I don't think the Cavs still would have won the game.
The team that's down is going to win.
5-0 this postseason when he's reffing.
Is he reffing game five?
I hope not. Who knows what? Yeah, then who knows?
Then it doesn't matter.
Yeah, that's true. Give me the home refs in game five.
I think the Celtics will get the better of the calls in the Garden.
Yeah, absolutely.
Just like the Cavs are going to. I just said that earlier. In the last 10 minutes of games, you get all the calls. In the last five, you get even more.
Yeah.
When you're at home.
That's when it matters.
That's what happens.
The last
2 minutes. They stick these guys to the line in the last 5 minutes of games in these home arenas. And the NBA has been going on since I've been alive.
Yeah. It was even worse going back to the Tim Donaghy days.
I don't deny the guy's a good coach. He's a good coach. But in Boston, you are judged by championships.
Yeah, absolutely.
There is nothing else. You can talk about all this candy-ass winning regular season games you want and how he's a genius and all this other nonsense. Please.
He's done a great job with this season, but it doesn't then make him, you know, one of the all-time greats.
He's
absolutely
done
not
solid
yet.
Job in,
we'll see.
In Boston. Is he better than Eric Spoelstra, who's got rings?
Those guys are similar. Both young,
very
great
young
minds, similar coaches.
The difference is he's got rings.
Sure. He had LeBron and Wade, but yeah.
So what?
Sure.
You know, are they going to say that when he's got Kyrie and Hayward playing? Are they going to they're going to say the same thing? He's got Kyrie.
Well, he hasn't had them yet.
But he has had them. He did play with Kyrie for half the season.
Sure, but not at crunch time.
But he's coached better without him than with him.
This series says a lot about him. He has to find a way to come up with some schemes to win this series. He really does. And it's a lot of it is on him because I disagree with some of the moves he's made.
Didn't Wade win one with just Shaq, right, before LeBron came around?
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
You're listening to Pharrell on the Bench.
I'm watching the Dodger game, and I saw Grandal get called out on strikes by the home plate umpire, and he starts talking to him, walking away out of the batter's box and toward the dugout. And he kept talking to him. He kept turning around and saying stuff to him all the way to the dugout. And I am just, like, so stunned that he didn't throw him. Because nowadays, in baseball, you say one word to those dudes, you're done. You're out. They just toss him. No one talks to these guys anymore at all. There's no, like, saying anything to him about a called third strike. You say anything to him, you're done. You're tossed. I can't believe what I just saw. This guy was going at it with him and just telling him the ball was low, and then he just kept going at him as he was walking to the dugout. I can't believe he didn't toss him. I'm like, the restraint this home plate umpire showed, because they all just get so sensitive. You say one word to them and they toss you now. And it gets worse as the season goes on because they get hot and they get – the longer they've been doing it, they're burned out, they're beat up. They're doing all these games and they got short fuses. 855-212-4227 to get on the bench. Jay in Knoxville, you're on CBS Sports Radio.
Burrell, what's up?
Hey, man.
Hey, I got some questions for you.
Yeah.
Do you think D'Antoni could take Houston to the conference finals without Chris Paul and James Harden?
No.
Do you think that Tyronn Lue could take the Cavs to the conference finals without LeBron and Kevin Love?
No, but now you're going to go, how did Brad Stevens take the Celtics to the conference final without Kyrie Irving and Gordon Hayward, who never played the whole year? And I'll tell you why, because they had a really good team with or without him. I mean, that's been proven, hasn't it? They haven't played with a guy in 2 months. All they do is win without him. I don't think they're just winning because of Brad Stevens. When did this theory start? That he? So you're telling me that every game they win is because of his genius and that it has nothing to do with the way Jaylen Brown's playing or the way Rozier's playing or the way Horford's carrying him on his back or the way Marcus Smart's playing defense or the way Morris is banging and putting the ball in the hole or the way Tatum's playing? You're telling me the only reason the Celtics win is Brad Stevens is standing on the sideline talking to the refs and doing what? What?
Once they get their two best players back, are they unstoppable? Is that's kind of your argument right now, is if they have their two best players.
That's not my argument. What are you talking about? That's my argument. So you're saying, when did I say? So you're suggesting that I said that when they get Kyrie back and Hayward that they're a dynasty and they're unstoppable? I never said that. Just shut up. Shut up. I never said it. So don't put words in my mouth. Thank you. Have a nice day. I'm not interested in arguing with you about Brad Stevens. So you can keep trying and see how much I'll put up with, and you'll find out in short order, not much. Mike in Houston.
Hey, yeah, Pharrell, what's up, man? How are the Pharrell Ballers doing?
The Pharrell Ballers are doing well so far, as you know, undefeated through six games, but we need... as Mafia likes to say, finish the deal. We have to finish the deal. We need to win, several more games. We have two more regular season games, and then we're going to have a semi and a final at the very least. We have to win three to get into the final, and then we have to win four to win it all. And we've done that before, I think. We've won seven championships, but I think that four of those, I could be wrong, I think four of them we were undefeated.
Oh, that's awesome. Yeah, the undefeated streaks are awesome. Yeah, this sounds similar to what the Rockets need. They need three more games in the semis and then four in the finals, and then they got...
Yeah, their problem is, though, that we're playing hacks and fat asses, and you're playing the Warriors.
Yeah, it's funny how that works. And what's scary is that you woke the sleeping giant with Curry and Thompson. That's a lethal 1-2 punch that I don't know if the Rockets have the defense. But I think they're going to win it with the defense, bro. I just wanted to say.
Let me get this straight. All right, hold on. You just told me that you believe that the Rockets are going to win the series because of their defense, of which they don't play any defense. Okay? So they don't play defense. Let me be clear. What defense are you talking about?
Literally right before that, he said, I don't know if they have the defense, but I think they're going to win because of their defense. You just said they don't have defense.
Listen, did they have any defense on Sunday night? That was the worst. Listen, that was the worst impaling I've ever seen in my life. How in God's name does a team that has Harden, the proverbial playoff choker that he is, and the CP3, the proverbial choke artist that he's been his entire career in the playoffs. Let's face facts. If you're going to be judged by your performance in the playoffs, neither one of them have ever done jack. Okay, so the guy that I saw on Sunday night, James Harden, who's doing TV commercials until you're blue in the face, the most famous, recognizable MVP. They're going to hand him all kinds of awards that don't matter soon, except to the individual that gets them. So he's going to win the MVP. But he, I mean, what was that Sunday night? I mean, that guy looked slower than me. I mean, I'm as slow as a turtle, and I play better defense than that guy. I mean, at least foul somebody. At least contest somebody. At least get your hand up in someone's face. At least trail them to the basket. Do something besides the usual same ball-hogging hero ball isolation BS that you give us every year. That's all you do.
I like turtles.
And you never win Jack Shaq. He never wins. So don't tell me that they're going to win it with their defense, of which they play none of. Thank you very much. Don't even want to hear it. So Curry, I'll give you this much. You got that right. Curry and Thompson. Thompson one day, Curry the next. Curry has 35. It's lights out. KD 25, 6 and 6. Green has 17 boards, 10.6 dimes. It's simple. I mean, Harden had 20 and 9. Paul had 13 and 10 boards. They combined to shoot 12 for 32 in that game. It's simple. At the end of the day, they're dealing with a monster, and I don't know how you beat them. What is it, 2-1 now? So there's four games left. Is that right? So game 4, 5, 6, and 7 at worst, right? So seven games, there's a maximum of four games left, and they need to win three of the four. And so I have a problem with that theory about winning three of four based on that, you know, who they're playing. So I would love nothing more. Believe me, let's be very loud and clear here. I want nothing more than the Rockets to win the series. That would be fantastic. I would love to see them knock off this Warriors dynasty that they got going here. Because let's face it, if they win three titles in 4 years, they got a flat-out dynasty rolling in the East Bay like nobody's business. They already do, being in three straight, right, and winning two of them, right? So no one can argue that. They, not the Rockets, they are the best team in basketball. They're the best team. It doesn't matter what the seeding is. It doesn't matter what the media says. It doesn't matter about the numbers or the stats or anything else. Everyone knows who's the best team in the NBA. Mafia, who do you think the best team is?
The Warriors.
Carver High, who do you think the best team in the NBA is?
Warriors, and it's not even close.
It's not even close. But everybody, the media will tell you, the big national media will tell you the Rockets are the best team in the league because they got the best record. And they got the best player. In a lot of people's minds, as long as you're the MVP and you got the best record, you're the best team. Except that's the furthest thing from the truth, because the team that just bent them over by 41 points on Sunday in Oracle, 41 points. You got beat by 41 points, and you got the gall to call me up here and tell me that you're going to win with defense. Dude, you need to go smoke so much reefer that you can't even think straight and go to bed and pour whiskey all over yourself and pass out. We have footage. Even James Harden thinks it's ridiculous that the caller was talking about the Rockets' defense. Dramatic footage here tonight on this program from James Harden. Dramatic that we were able to give you that. I'm surprised we didn't have to pay to release that, to pay someone to even release that interview. Seriously. Paul in Buffalo.
What it do, brother?
Hey, man. Hey, what's up?
Hey, man, listen. You know, you hit the nail right on the head about this whole Harden deal, which is why I've been saying all along, they got to hold off giving out these awards to the end of the playoffs, because Harden's going to get the MVP, and he looked like a D-leaguer the other night. And I mean, and I'll just, you know, guard somebody. Somebody.
I think these, now I get it. I'm not trying to be a jerk here. I get it. These are all individual accolades are fabulous. There's nothing better than being honored by your peers and by the media or whoever else and executives in the league and the like for your accomplishments and to be honored for your season. You had a tremendous season. You had tremendous numbers, tremendous output, productivity, incredible performances and highlight reel moves and great scoring nights and humiliating people, ankle breaking, everything else. He's incredible. But these are individual accolades, which I respect. I mean, you take your little award and put it on your mantle at your home and then hope no one breaks into your house and steals all your stuff. But at the end of the day, no one gives a rat's ass who the MVP is. All they care about is who wins it all. That's what they talk about. They never talk about who won the 1994 MVP anymore, except people that don't have anything better to do with their day.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.